And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
All right, it's time to talk about the new movies with Matt Olien. This is a big weekend, Matt. Mm-hmm. It's the holiday weekend. That's why you're in early. And you went to a couple of sort of independent almost sounding films to me.
Yeah, Parasite and Jojo Rabbit. Let's start with Parasite. Both are currently playing at the Fargo Theater. Please check your listings around the state as they are, especially Jojo Rabbit is starting to get out into more wide release. So Parasite is a South Korean film directed by Bong Joon-ho. He also directed Mother, The Host, Okja. He's a very good director. This might be his best film yet. I think this is the foreign language film of the year. I think he'll be the first Korean ever nominated in the Best Director category. It basically is kind of a Hitchcock film, I would say. It's a slow burn buildup, and you think the film is one thing, and it becomes another, and it becomes another.
Is this Hitchcock like the whimsy, or Hitchcock like the chilling?
No, not this isn't like Trouble with Harry stuff. this is the slow burn Hitchcock type film. So I can't reveal much of the plot. What I can tell you is this: if you've seen the previews, you know that the son of a family, there's a family of four Koreans. They live pretty much in poverty. They live on a street where their window looking out on the alley is above where they live. So they kind of almost live underground. And the son learns from a friend of his who has been tutoring a high school girl of a rich family that he is going to the United States to study, and they need a new tutor. And so he will be the new tutor, the son who's probably in his 20s, doesn't do much, kind of a layabout, didn't get into college. And so he becomes the tutor to this 16-year-old girl at this very wealthy family's house, and it goes from there. If you've also seen from the trailer, he does arrive at the house with a woman at one point. Now, I'm not going to tell you who that woman is. You have to watch the film. Just remember that's a family of four. There are two parents, a brother, and a sister, and they're both in their 20s. So what the film is about class, Doug. So the two houses are basically characters. The house, if you want to call it that, that the poor family lives in, the father's out of work as well. The mother's out of work. They try to become pizza delivery people. That doesn't really work out. But the house, the rich people's house, which has a daughter and a younger son, is beautiful. It's immaculate. The yard becomes almost a character. So you have this competing class systems going on in South Korea. Again, we can't get into too much of the plot, but once he starts tutoring the daughter, things get strange. I was completely caught off guard in two parts where I did not see what was coming. So it's funny in parts. It's kind of a comedy in parts. It's tense. It's interesting. It's got a very subtle social message that never bangs you over the head with it. And it's one of the best films of the year, for sure.
Well, I'm thinking about the title must be somewhat significant
here. It is significant. Okay. That's all I can tell because I do not want to ruin this for people. Please go to this film. I've known several friends of mine that have gone and love it as well. So this is one of the best films of the year. Could be the first Korean film ever nominated for Best Picture. And it's probably going to be the foreign language Oscar winner favorite.
Well, I've heard lots of great buzz about it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And so Parasite, now playing, if you can find it. Jojo Rabbit, I did find. I saw that, and I think I liked it more than you did.
You liked it a lot more than I did. This is also at the Fargo Theater. Please check your listings around the state. Director Taika Waititi, this is kind of his follow-up to his big hit, Hunt for the Wilder People, which I thought was overrated. He's a New Zealand director. And if you've seen the previews, this is kind of being called in the business the Hitler comedy, which of course conjures up images of how are they going to pull this off? Because it's such a sensitive topic, because the Nazis were such awful people. It follows a boy in about 1942 or 43 that becomes part of the Hitler Youth. He is named Jojo. He's played by Roman Griffin Davis. He goes to a Hitler Youth camp. He gets indoctrinated, and he has an imaginary friend who is Hitler. That's his imaginary friend, played by the director himself, Taika Waititi. I wasn't wild about the casting. I think he should have had someone else play Hitler, but that's been disagreed on by critics as well. The film, I would call, is an unsettling, chopped-up combination of drama and farce. And sometimes the two don't meet on very good terms, if you know what I'm saying, Doug. I'm not sure this film knew what it wanted to be. And actually, I think the director played it too safe. And a couple friends of mine who I really follow on social media that love movies said almost the same thing. Here's what I mean by playing it too safe. Because it's funny in parts, or tries to be funny, and then, of course, we know it's going to get serious because JoJo's mom, played by Scarlett Johansson, is harboring a Jewish girl in her attic, expertly played in the performance of the film, I think, by Thomasin McKenzie, who was so good last year in Leave No Trace. She's a really up-and-coming star.
The kids in this movie
kids
are great.
They are great. And Scarlett Johansson is good, too. She's not in it a lot, but I'm not sure this film knows what it wants to be. When I say he's playing it too safe, I almost think it would be better to go for a full farce, Mel Brooks, the producers, Springtime and Hitler. And it kind of tries to do that, and then it kind of settles to basically, in my opinion, it becomes a cuddly feel-good movie,
okay, but
which I was not expecting at all.
I saw it more as this experience, this war experience in a German community from the point of view of a 10-year-old boy. That's what I saw.
It is, but again, this is my view of this film, and a lot of people are disagreeing on this film. It is critically mixed. I just thought he played it too safe. To me, it's a combination of Monty Python, Diary of Anne Frank, and Life is Beautiful, which is kind of a strange combination. There are good parts in it. Scarlett Johansson's good in the film. Sam Rockwell is quite good as the Hitler Youth director. However, I think the director wastes most of his all-star supporting cast. Rebel Wilson almost has nothing to do. Alfie Allen, so great as Theon Greyjoy in Game of Thrones, I think has two lines in the whole film. That, to me, those are underwritten characters that could have been better written. So in the end, I didn't think it was quite funny enough. I wasn't sure it knew what it wanted to be. I invite people to go see it, certainly. I wasn't offended. It takes a lot to offend me at a movie. I just think maybe it played it too safe because it's a cuddly movie in the end.
There's a scene in the movie that I think people will remember in the same way they remember the red dress in Schindler's List.
I don't think people will ever remember this film like they will Schindler's List. Okay. I will respectfully disagree with you.
Fair enough. Well, let's talk about the other movies that are out there because there are a lot of them out this weekend. Knives Out.
Yeah, lots of films to go see in addition to the two I just talked about. Knives Out getting great reviews. Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Christopher Plummer. It looks like an old-fashioned murder mystery is what it looks like, where Daniel Craig comes in and declares, "I think there's foul play afoot," with a Texas accent, I guess. James Bond. This looks really good. I'm looking forward to seeing this one. Frozen 2 made $127 million over the last weekend. I was wondering if too long, 6 years had passed between Frozen 1 and 2. Clearly it has not. My daughter was not interested in seeing it, even though she was obsessed with Frozen and met Elsa and Anna at Disney World that year. But clearly it's got legs, and I'm going to see it just to see if it's as good as the first. The first one, there's a magic to that first film. I fell in love with the first film. I completely confess to that. We'll see about the second one. Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, in a supporting role. I want people to understand, even though the critical reaction to this has been very mixed, the film is really focused on a journalist who wrote an article about Fred Rogers. So he's the main character, and Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers is really kind of the supporting character. So Hanks is being really pushed for a supporting actor nomination in this. We'll see if it's as good as last year's documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? But those are three films at the megaplexes that you might want to check out this weekend. I'll see all of them eventually.
When I've seen Tom Hanks in excerpts from this film, he certainly seems to have Mr. Rogers down.
He seems to have it down. So we'll see if that film it did pretty good at the box office, but not like Frozen 2 did.
All right. Well, so there's lots to see this holiday weekend. I've got an Academy Awards trivia question here that goes way back because it deals with a point in Oscar history where they actually had to change the rules. Mm-hmm. And this was when there was a movie that had the same actor nominated for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor, and only won one of those.
Barry Fitzgerald in Going My Way was nominated in both categories and won in Supporting Actor.
And who won the Actor Award?
Bing Crosby in the same film, Going My Way.
And after that, they established rules to prevent actors and actresses from getting nominated twice for the same performance.
However, a director can be nominated twice for a different film. Steven Soderbergh pulled that off in 2000 with Traffic and Aaron Brockovich.
All right, we have delved into the Oscar trivia brain of Matt O'Lean.